This podcast replay is brought to you by KSDT CPA, one of South Florida's largest and one of the country's fastest growing accounting firms. KSDT CPA is a full service firm that also excels in crypto. Visit them at KSDTCPA.com or call 305-670-3370.
All right, Cam, I just fought with Omar for half an hour here, and he's telling me the Dolphins aren't all in. What kind of shit is that? Don't tell me you're going to follow up that the Dolphins aren't all in.
Define all in. I think they made an aggressive move to go get Jalen Ramsey. That's a move that you're saying we're competing for a championship. And so that move is a very aggressive move. Now, have they pushed all their chips forward? No. I don't think they pushed
Vic
all
Fangio.
Their
chips. Huh? Vic Fangio
is an aggressive move. But they still have chips left to play. If I'm all in, if we're talking strictly the term, if I'm all in poker, I've got no more chips to play. I'm all in on this hand, this season, win the championship or bust. I don't think they're all in on this season or bust. I think this roster is still built to win in 2024 and 2025. And I don't know that.
I don't know about 2025.
Maybe 2024. Maybe it's a two-year run.
In 3 years, you got to pay Tua, Jalen Phillips, and Jalen Waddle.
That's correct.
You're not all in at that point.
Maybe they are going for their push.
You're turning some shit down. You're turning some shit down at that point.
Gotcha.
You're doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But these next 2 years, they're all in. You don't think?
That's why I said it depends on your terminology. I think they've been aggressive. I don't know if they pushed all their chips in yet.
Well, I mean, still have.
They can still go out and get a Jordan Poirier out there in the market.
Right. They still
get a right tackle, spend some money on there. So there are still two or three moves I think they could make to make this team a top, you know, because we're looking at the Chiefs and the Bengals. And right now, as the roster is currently stated, the Dolphins got a lot better. But I still don't know if I can pick them over the Chiefs or the Bengals.
Is Wilkins getting his contract now or in June when they open up $13
million? I'm sure he'd love to get it as soon as possible. But I haven't heard any indication.
My gut is telling me that this is going to be pushed to June because you get your $13 million from releasing Byron Jones. Right. And you can pay Wilkins and you can pay your rookies with that money. Not that there's going to be a lot of rookies. Maybe Sealer gets his deal now, but I almost see Wilkins getting his deal in June. I don't know. I ask you because what are you hearing?
Yeah, I haven't heard anything imminent in regards to a Christian Wilkins extension. This is around the time that you would, if they were doing a Wilkins extension to open up cap space for a free agency move, you've already heard some rumblings, or I believe I would have, and I haven't heard anything definitive. Not saying they haven't had conversations, but I don't get the feel that, hey, any day now we could hear about a Christian Wilkins extension.
All right, and listen, obviously that's going to happen. I'm not worried about the Christian Wilkins extension. Yeah. He's going to get it now or in June, whatever. I know he's going to get that. But when we look at another big move, we just talked about Jordan Poirier. Are you expecting some kind of a lineman, a Jordan Poirier, another kind of player?
Are you expecting
one more big, not Jalen Ramsey like, but something that's a pretty big move? Jordan Poirier would be a pretty big move.
Yeah, I think they've got at least one or two starter level moves left. I don't know what you would consider a splash per se. It may be Jordan Poirier, maybe somebody else, but I think they're going to add at least one or two more starters. Caliber players. And so I think you'll see them add at the offensive line position. They've been looking and trying to find a right tackle that makes sense for them money-wise to come in and compete with Austin Jackson. And so maybe that's a guy who, if he loses that battle, becomes a swing tackle, or maybe it's a guy who's the clear right tackle. But a lot of that will depend on price. And then they have been looking still and trying to figure out the safety market and deciding whether they go get a depth option as like a third safety, or say we'll go get in Jordan Poirier and push Brandon Jones as down to the third safety. And so those are probably the two moves that I would keep my close eye on. And they'd also like to add another tight end to the room. Keep an eye on, you know, a guy who I've been looking at a lot is Foster Moreau from the Raiders. He spent a lot of time with Frank Smith early in his career as a tight end coach. there. He's been the backup with the Raiders, but he's a guy who could play starter reps. And so the Raiders got rid of Darren Waller. Maybe they try to keep him, but that could be a guy to keep an eye on if the Dolphins want another tight end in free agency to fill up that room along with Durham Smythe.
I almost feel like they're going in the draft at tight end because there's actually a couple of tight ends in the draft that do what they need.
They certainly could. And it's a deep, it's a very deep tight end class. Yes. Daniel Jeremiah, our draft analyst, said it's the deepest tight end class he's seen in 10 years. And so you could certainly do that. The only issue is that you pin yourself a little bit in a hole and that you have to come out of it with a tight end, right? And so, you know, if you're willing to do that, then go all in. But, you know, not having a first round pick, you have other positions to kind of add as well. So I can see them going to draft a tight end. I can see them signing one of these guys. I can see them doing both. You know, it's a new way of thought. You got to remember that Mike Gesicki and Hunter Long were both draft picks in the Brian Flores era, and Durham Smythe was as well. And so you get a chance to bring in your own guys. Mike McDaniel does, Frank Smith does. You get to see what they truly value at that position.
Why haven't I heard anybody talk about Brandon Schell? What the hell's going on?
Brandon Schell's probably going to be a third wave free agent signing. He's a guy who's probably not going to cost a ton of money. Might be looking for more than what the Dolphins or another team may put out right now. And so it's probably a situation where you're swinging for bigger fish, but you always know that you have Brandon Schell to fall back on if you don't get that swing. Because if you remember, Brandon Schell was a free agent all the way up until when they signed him. What was that, August, September, something, right around the start of the season. And so there wasn't a lot of interest with him initially. He played well last year, but I don't know that there's a huge rush to sign Brandon Schell at this point.
Well, I know that David Long Jr., you didn't really get to see much of him because he was a youngin' when you left there, right?
I spent some time here, right? I've seen a lot of David Long.
Well, because you've been here, 3 years?
I figured. Yeah, but you got to remember, since I've been in this role, I travel a lot. And so.
No, I get
that. Not
I
this get. Past year, but the year before, I did 7 Titans games in 2021. Okay. And so, although I wasn't home there, it felt like a home. Spending all that time in Nashville. And so I've seen a lot of David Long, and he's a really good player. Like, he fills that Mike linebacker role. He's probably going to wear the green dot in this offense. And I mean, his defense galore. And he's a guy who does what you want in the new age linebacker. He can blitz. He can stop the run. He's got range. He's decent in coverage, not great, but decent. The main issue with him, and it's been said time and time again, is his ability to stay healthy. He's a bit undersized too, which kind of contributes to that, but his ability to stay healthy. And so, you know, the Titans got frustrated at times last year because it kept being soft tissue injury after soft tissue injury, particularly the hamstring injuries. And it just kind of was too much for them to keep having him in and out of the lineup. And so that's why the Dolphins got him on a bit of a discount. He's a guy, if he was healthy, he's probably a double-digit million-dollar a year guy. The Dolphins got him for 5.5 because of that. And so they're hoping that he stays healthy. But I'd imagine that you still have to add at least one linebacker to that room to protect yourself if he does get hurt. And so I think Dolphins fans will like David Long a lot as long as he stays on the field.
Who's your two inside linebackers right now?
Right now is Baker and David Long. But I'm still keeping an eye on, you know, Baker's guarantee is coming up Friday. They're going to examine the market, and, you know, they very well may say, hey, we're going to keep Baker. They may say we restructure his deal, but maybe they look and see somebody else that they want and swap him out. But as of now, David Long, Jerome Baker, you've got Duke Riley as depth. I think ideally you'd want him as your number 4 safety. You got Tyndale there, but my problem with Tyndale is you just did not see anything that makes you want to trust him this year. And so the team may be hopeful he could be the number 3 linebacker. I don't know if I'd feel great about, you know, locking that in. So I'd love to see them add at least one more guy who, you know, either whether you keep Baker and add another guy, or if you get rid of Baker, then bring in 2 more guys.
All right. What else are we hearing? Sealer, anything on his deal? Because that's another guy they got to sign. We haven't heard anything on Wilkins. What are you hearing on Sealer?
Yeah, I haven't heard anything on Sealer either. I think right now they're trying to focus on additions rather than extensions. I think a lot of times you wait until the free agency pool cools down a little bit and then you take care of your own guys. And so I think right now they're looking at additions. Like I said, some of the positions I mentioned, and then Vic Fangio is going to do his own evaluation. The thing there is, although these are really good players, Christian Wilkins and Zach Sealer, and obviously Christian Wilkins is going to be part of the future. Vic Fangio hasn't seen them within his scheme yet. And so this could be a scenario where for some of these guys, you wait until you get into offseason program in April and May, maybe even training camp in July, and see how they look within your scheme before you say, hey, we're going to commit to these guys for 3, 4, or 5 years down the line.
All right. The backup quarterback has been obviously a topic of discussion.
Yep.
I am of the school that none of it matters.
Because it doesn't matter if Tua can stay healthy.
Right. If Tua gets injured, Andy Dalton wasn't taking you to the Super Bowl. Neither was Gardner Minshew, and neither was Taylor Heinicke. So
right.
I kind of understood that instead of shopping at Kmart for Dalton and Minshew, they went down to the dollar store and got Mike White. And I completely understand that because Mike still shows you a little something, but at the same time, it doesn't really matter. You weren't going to get Garoppolo or Derek Carr or Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady to come back up Tua, right? So since you're not going to get a legitimate starter to come in and back up Tua, it didn't really matter who you signed. It's all on Tua. If he's healthy, they got a shot at everything. And if he's not, they're not going anywhere anyway. So it didn't really matter if they spent an extra $2 or $3 or $5 million to go get Andy Dalton over Mike White. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I think that because of Tua's injury history, you have to value that backup quarterback spot because the reality is the reality. And the only thing I would say push back on your thing about it doesn't matter is that the situation that we had sort of, for example, last year, obviously you hope it's not concussions, but Tua's out for a period of time, but then he's going to come back. You need somebody to keep you afloat for those periods of time, 2 or 3 games cycle. And so that's where having an Andy Dalton or somebody of that sort that may win you a game may help in that respect. And so Mike White did well in spurts with the Jets, but I do think that it's going to be an interesting question mark if Tua gets hurt, should they have spent more money at that backup position. But the problem is you spend $7 million last year, I think, on Teddy Bridgewater, and he wasn't available when you needed him to. So it's a little bit of a crapshoot on the backup quarterback spot either way. So they clearly had a value they wanted to spend. They put it on Mike White. He's also a guy who you're not going to have to worry about, for better or for worse, fans or media saying, hey, Mike White's going to take Tua's job, like you saw early in the offseason with Teddy Bridgewater before people realized that Tua was that guy. And when Fitz was here, that was the same question. And so there probably will be a little bit of that in that respect, you know, not having to worry about any type of noise there.
All right, one more thing before I let you go. If I'm Skylar Thompson, I am going like this. All right.
Yeah.
Because if they sign Minshew or Dalton,
right,
he's done. He's the third guy again this year.
Yep.
You sign Mike White. Dude, Mike White was in the NFL for 3 years in the practice squad with Dallas. Then he goes for 2 years with the Jets, and he plays, and he's thrown double the interceptions and he's thrown touchdowns. So, you know, I get everybody was wearing a Mike White shirt and all that with the Jets, but, yeah, I get he's a Pembroke Pines kid and all that. And I got the same bullshit with Teddy Bridgewater, and we get the same shit on Lamar Jackson, and people don't want to look at him for what they really are. They add a little boost because he's a local kid. And I get it. He's a local kid. But if I'm Skylar Thompson, I'm saying, brother, I got a shot at the number two job. I don't care what they're telling me. This guy ain't that much better than I am. I can go out there. And if I'm Skylar, I'm happy about this move.
Absolutely. Because you get a chance not only this year, but long term to be that backup quarterback. And Mike McDaniel's shown, particularly with Cedric Wilson last year compared to like Trent Sherfield and some of these other players, like even if you make money, if the other guy's better, I'm going to play the other guy. And so right. I can certainly see a scenario of Skylar plays Mike, outplays Mike White, that they would have Skylar as the true backup. And so, yeah, you're right. Gardner Minshew wouldn't have been the case. Andy Dalton, it wouldn't be a case. But Skylar continues to get a chance to compete And they really like Skyler. Mike McDaniel really likes Skyler. And so I think ideally we talk about the money you're spending on the backup quarterback. Ideally, you get to a position where Skyler can fill that role for cheap and you don't have to worry about spending $5 to $7 million on a backup quarterback every year. And so news for you guys, Jordan Poirier's resigned with the Bills. So there goes the Jordan Poirier.
He's back to the market, but he returned to Bills Mafia.
Yep.
So the signing of Jalen Ramsey and then some of the other ones kind of took him out of the picture,
right?
Pretty much, you know. This is also good for Brandon Jones.
Yep.
This means that Fangio looked at the tape and said, "No, I can work with this kid." Mm-hmm. And so, if you're Brandon Jones, you're also really happy because if they brought in an elite cover safety, then that would be a real problem for him, unfortunately. But he did get better in coverage last year, so I got to give him credit.
He did. And so good for Brandon Jones. I still think they're going to continue to look. I don't think that the book is closed on a safety there, but maybe it's a guy who's more depth or competition than a clear starter, which obviously helps Brandon Jones.
I'm with you. All right, what do you got going on in the NFL Network since they've got you really busy lately?
Yeah, man, I'm actually at home for a few days, luckily. I've been traveling everywhere across the country. I will be doing a free agency show. We have a free agency show that's running now from 11 to 3, and then I'll be on the 3 to 7 version of our show. So I'm going to go run and get a quick workout and come back, shower, throw on a suit, and talk some Dolphins and NFL for the next 4 hours after that.
Good stuff as always. Follow him on Twitter at Cameron Wolf. Cameron, thank you, sir. We will catch up on Friday.
Appreciate you, bro.
You got it. There you go, Cameron Wolf. Good stuff as always. The Wolf Pack has been unleashed.
This podcast replay is brought to you by KSDT CPA, one of South Florida's largest and one of the country's fastest growing accounting firms. KSDT CPA is a full service firm that also excels in crypto. Visit them at KSDTCPA.com or call 305-670-3370.
All right. There he is. How you feeling, my man? You feeling good?
I'm good. Oh, it is the weekend. I've got one more day of work and I can relax a little bit. So I'm feeling good.
I was explaining to people yesterday, and it's exactly what ended up happening, because a lot of people thought Gesicki would get a multi-year deal. And I said, nope, he's going to sign a one-year deal, because unfortunately what happened here the last 2 years ruined his resume. And it did not allow him to really showcase his skills. So I figured he would sign a one-year prove-it deal. And that's kind of what Gardner Minshew's doing. You know, I wanted Gardner Minshew here. But Gardner Minshew went to a place where he knows he's going to play and have a chance to showcase his skills. Because Gardner has the potential to be quarterback 25, 27, 29, 32 in the league. Because that's kind of who he is. He's a back-end bad starter, or maybe a really good backup for you, you know, overall. And so he took a one-year prove-it type deal because he's going to get playing time in Indianapolis. So your thoughts on Gesicki moving on to the Patriots?
Yeah, I thought that you hit it pretty much on the money. Mike, one of the most puzzling moves last year for the Dolphins was franchise tagging Mike Gesicki, because we knew that it wasn't a great fit. And clearly throughout the season, they didn't use him much at all. And so for him to get the deal that he wanted, he was going to have a better year. So what have you done for me lately, league? And so he actually got a decent number from the Patriots, you know, up to $9 million, not too far off from what he made from the franchise tag last year. But yeah, this is a big year for him to prove that he's worth a multi-year deal. Everybody else watched the Dolphins tape, and the main question they'll ask in the free agent meetings is, well, if Mike McDaniel couldn't use them, why would we? You know, what was the issue there? What's the problem? And the problem is pretty clear. He can't block, and you have to use him as a big receiver within your scheme. And so it'll be interesting to see how Bill O'Brien and the Patriots use him. Clearly, they've seen him a bunch. Bill Belichick has. And so
Jonnu Smith couldn't block.
Huh?
Jonnu Smith isn't a blocker either. You know what I'm saying?
Correct. And he immediately fills that role. And to me, they see it, hey, we can upgrade from Jonnu Smith to Mike Gesicki and pay similar money to what we were going to be paying Jonnu before. And so for them, it's an easy swap. You make it work. And I think he'll have an extra chip on his shoulder too.
Oh, for
sure. He plays the Dolphins 2 times a year.
Yeah.
Proved to Mike McDaniel and the Dolphins of what he can do on the field. And so I will say Mike Gesicki, I give him a lot of credit for how he handled it last year.
Super pro. God. Bro, awesome.
You know, I don't know if I would have handled it that way. You know, it's my money year. Everybody knows the money year is the year you need to break out. And that was, you know, unfortunately for him, probably his least productive year he's had since his rookie season because of their usage. And so I think that probably helped him in getting a deal with the Patriots too, knowing that he's not going to, you know, whine or fuss if he doesn't get the ball 10 plus times a game. And so, yeah.
And one of the things I talked about yesterday with him, I told everybody he would probably sign a one-year deal and a prove-it type deal, but he has to make sure that he and his agent have to pick a spot where they're going to throw to the tight end. Right. And that's the good thing about
the big receiver.
Right.
Or the big receiver.
Right. And that's the good thing about that offense. It's always been a very tight end heavy offense from the Ben Coates days all the way through.
They run two tight end sets a lot. Too.
Yes. 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 So they kept Hunter Henry. So Hunter will be more of the inline guy, and then and then this guy
can be the big receiver.
He'll play the Aaron Hernandez role. They had Gronk inside, and they would put Hernandez, you know, more wide out because Hernandez was a hell of an athlete, you know, besides being a murderer. But outside of that, you know, with Gesicki, hopefully he'll get to murder it this year and pick up some big numbers.
Absolutely. Mike Gesicki is interesting because he had a love-hate relationship, I believe, with Dolphins fans. I think when he first got here, everybody was calling him a bust because he wasn't producing early on. And then he became beloved, you know, during the Fitzpatrick era because of how much Ryan threw him the ball. And then this year, he was sort of the forgotten guy in the offense. So interesting, like, kind of tenure for him. But ultimately, this past year, I know people were asking, hey, why can't you get him more involved? I think the Dolphins tried to make him into a lesser blocking version of George Kittle. And you just got to realize that he's not that guy. He's never going to be a great blocker in the NFL. And so you got to have an offense that's going to allow him to be that slot receiver. The Dolphins did not have that position open. They paid a lot of money to Cedric Wilson. They used Trent Sherfield a lot in that role. And so there was not a lot of room for him to be that big receiver. And when you have him as a true tight end, he's either going to have to block or you're going to know that they're going to be passing the ball when he's in the game. And so it sort of limits your offense in that respect. So definitely interested to see how creative the Patriots are in their usage of him. And I guarantee you, if he scores a touchdown, I feel pretty good that he's going to break out that gritty that they got a lot of chuckles here down the season, if you can even call it a gritty, whatever that his version of it is.
Yeah, well, you know, Brandon Jones already said no gritties when they play the Dolphins. So, you know, Brandon already reached out there and said, nah, we got to cut that out there. Listen, and Mac Jones is he's not aggressive by nature. I've watched him play. And he's conservative by nature, and he will be a check down Charlie at times, and he will and high percentage passes are running backs and tight ends. So I think he and his agent made the right decision there. I tell Dolphins, I don't fear the Patriots. Yeah. So to me, I wish him the best. I don't think the Patriots are in the mix in this division at all. I think it's the Bills and the Dolphins, you know, challenging for this division. I know they're going to get Aaron Rodgers over in New York and all that, but I think it's still Miami and the Bills right now in my eyes, the way I look at it. But I don't even think of the Patriots right now in this mix, no matter what. So I don't see it like something that's going to really burn Miami overall.
Yeah, you never know with Bill Belichick, but it's funny. I was talking with the coach, and I mentioned this on NFL Network earlier this week, who I was talking with a coach who's not in this division, and we're talking about the AFC East and Rodgers and Ramsey and all these different moves. And he said, when's the last time the Patriots were like the clear worst team in the division? And I had to think about it. And I'm like, probably like the 20th century, like probably like 1990 something before Brady for sure.
Yes.
That they were clear fourth team. And I think that's the case now, you know. They have the clear fourth quarterback in the division. They have the clear fourth team in the division. And, you know, the coach is maybe an equalizer that helps them figure out a way to not be in the cellar. But right now, it does seem to me it's a hard case for you to put the Patriots above any of the other three teams. And so the Bills are still going to have to be at the top until somebody dethrones them. They have not done a lot this offseason. They did bring back Jordan Poyer. They get Von Miller back, and they get Micah Hyde healthy. And so everybody's playing catch up to them. And so for me, it's still hard to put anybody for sure over the Bills until they beat them. But the Dolphins and Jets are closing. I think the Dolphins are second last year. They got much better, particularly on defense this year. And so I think that's going to help them a lot in those matchups that count down the stretch. And don't count out the Jets. I know you think they're not in that mix, but if Rodgers is that guy that he had been his previous 2 years, not last year, but the previous 2 years before with a new scheme, then that defense is ferocious. The Jets defense with Sauce
Gardner.
It's
good defense, man. Boys, really good.
They're ferocious, and they literally had probably the worst, if not the worst, definitely top two, bottom two or three quarterback situations in the NFL last year, trying to battle between Zach Wilson and Mike White. And so
I just think it's going to be a disaster, bro. I really
think
do.
Aaron Rodgers and the Jets are going to be a disaster?
A total disaster.
It could go that way.
Total
it's
disaster.
It's going to go one of two ways. With Aaron Rodgers, it's either going to be the biggest explosion disaster we've seen in some time, like worse than Russell Wilson in Denver year one blow up. Or he's going to return to the MVP level and pull a Tom Brady and revive his career essentially for one last burst, for a two-year burst. And so those are the two routes. There's no middle ground. They either become a Super Bowl contender immediately or explodes.
When I heard him say on McAfee's show that going into the retreat, I was 90% retiring, 10% playing, that's it. It's over. You don't go 90% retiring and then all of a sudden you're going to go gung-ho and you're going to go play NFL football and the requirements it takes and the pressure that's going to be in New York and the demand and all that stuff. And you're going to have to deal with that media and all that. I forgot which one of you guys said it. I think it was Poupart that said it. He's that guy that thinks that, oh, well, others struggle with the New York media. Well, you know, I'm smart enough. I'll be able to handle those guys. And I think he's that guy, and he's going to get a rude awakening in that place when he says something stupid or wacky or out of, you know, off the rail stuff. You know, in Green Bay, there's six people there. There's Rob Domofsky and like three other people there. There's nobody there in Green Bay. When he's there in New York and there's 150 mics in his face, and he is getting mobbed from all over the place, and if he says anything stupid, it's going to be on the post. It's going to be on page six. It's going to be all over the place. This is a different monster, bro. And if you don't go in there with blinders and focused, that place will eat you up alive, bro. New York is not the normal place for every athlete. I'm sorry. It's just not.
It's a different animal. And the reality of it is, because Rodgers is who he is, he's going to say whatever's on his mind. He believes he's the boss of everyone. There is a very big possibility that if things don't go well, there's going to be huge spats in the media and Rodgers won't back down. And so it could get really messy very quickly. And so, like I said, it's going to be either boom or bust here. But I will say there is the possibility of it being boom. And if it is boom, then that makes the AFC East an animal division. Like, I know last year, and I don't want to mention it last year, but last year, the AFC West was supposed to be this juggernaut division, right? You got obviously Patrick Mahomes with the Chiefs. This was supposed to be the year for the Chargers and Justin Herbert, like it seemingly is every year. And there was the Raiders coming in with a new regime, and then it was the Broncos and Russell Wilson. It was supposed to be the division, and it just did not work out this way. The AFC East is shaping up to be the division of this year coming up. No more competitive division. Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers, potentially, whenever that gets done, Tua, and then you got the Patriots, which there's a big gap to me between them and the rest, but they have Bill Belichick, which you never can count that dude out.
No, I'm with you there. All right, what's your grade overall for the Dolphins through free agency so far, through the first phase of the offseason? Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, I think they're one of the, I don't know, winners of free agency. I probably give them a B+. Maybe you can go to A- if you're grading a little less harsh than I am. But I love the Jalen Ramsey move. I think it was a perfect replacement of Byron Jones. I think he's going to help.
That's an upgrade from Byron Jones.
Yes, absolutely. An upgrade, but really, really a perfect replacement too.
Yes.
Because the thing about it, and I know you're not a huge Xavien Howard fan, But I think it's going to help Xavier Howard a ton, because the reality is he did not have a good season last year. A lot of it was the injuries. He had the groin injuries that limited him a bunch. He had some other issues he was working through.
Well, I've already predicted you're going to see a great year from X, because X will get released at the end of the year. And he knows, and his agent knows, that this is the window when he's going to get released. So in order to convince the Dolphins that he's wants to stay, you're going to have an elite year. And and because you know that you're facing release, well, I'm going to have a great year, because if the Dolphins don't want me back, then somebody else needs to want me. Well, I got to play like people want me. And then you've got Jalen Ramsey on the other side. So then that's going to show you up too at the same time. I think I'm expecting X to have a great year. Last year wasn't his fault. He had injuries. Whatever, I don't know what the hell was wrong with him, growing or whatever. Nobody's going to tell me that was that dude. I get more pissed off with the other stuff from X. Every year, the money stuff, the off-the-field stuff, all that crap. And this year was, obviously, he didn't play up to snuff. But next year, this coming season, he has all the motivation in the world. He has to have a great year. He has no choice but to have a great year. So the Dolphins are going to win no matter what. They're on that one.
Absolutely. And the other thing there, just kind of on a Jalen Ramsey and just kind of for Dolphins fans, I think Barry Jackson reported that
River Craycraft
is re-signing there.
Yep.
But one thing on the Jalen Ramsey and X thing, like, it's dope to see your top two corners like really vibe the way they have.
Yeah. Initially.
Like, they're hanging out at the Heat game. X is touring taking them around the tour of the facility. They've been friends since college. And I think that translates on the field. That gives you a different competitiveness because you want to run up your buddy. I never thought the Byron Jones X relationship got off on a great foot, because immediately Byron gets here and X wants more money than Byron. And that's his whole focus. And so I think he probably has a different respect for Jalen, of Jalen being, hey, Jalen's actually one of the top three corners in football over the last 5-6 years. I don't know if he never ever really truly considered Byron.
No, not as equal. No, he never looked at him as equal. No,
that matters. And so you can tell that they truly respect each other. And the other element is X is not going to have to travel all the time, because Jalen's there now, which will save his legs. All that motion that teams do, that was killing X. They would run the motion and have him run all over the formation, and he would be out of sorts by the time the ball was snapped. And so that limits him in that respect. And also, teams are going to have to throw at him a lot more, because Jalen's going to be on one side. And remember, he got a lot of those interceptions when teams were forced into their second read throwing to X, you know, during that run there. And so I think that this could be a great year for him and Jalen together. And like you said, X definitely knows his guarantees end after this year, and that means you got a lot to prove.
Yeah, no, he's motivated this year. He has no choice. So that's going to be absolutely awesome. And by the way, you got to admit, all right, admit it, be honest now. Tell me that 2.5-minute interview with Jalen and X walking around the building, tell me you weren't pissed off going, how come we don't get that X in a press conference?
Yeah. X opens up when he wants to open up.
Oh, he's with one of his boys. He's super colorful. He's with the media. 1-2-word answers. It's like dry. It's like, well, I'm watching that video and I'm going, dude, he's got personality.
Right.
He's like having fun. He's smiling. What the hell? We're going to have to get Jalen. We're going to have to get Jalen Ramsey to ask the questions for us.
Yep. Yeah. Go have to. He said he's the evil twin. And so I can already picture it. X has a big game. You get Jalen on side of him translating.
Right. Talking.
Responses.
Right. Right.
X says, hey, you know, I just made a play, break the ball. Right. Jalen says, you know, I'm that man. That's why I do this.
Yeah.
So you get that version of him to get the quotes you need. And just say it came from Howard.
Right. No, or just he'll stand next to X and say the things that X should say, and that's all. You know, that's it. Right. Just, you know, might as well just that'll care. What was that? Was it Mike Wallace and there was another receiver next to him for the Dolphins a few years back that he Or no, it wasn't Mike Wallace. It was somebody else that somebody stayed quiet and then somebody else talked for him. And then they ended up cutting that dude. But I forgot that scenario a few years back with the Dolphins. Maybe I'll remember when I'm driving home. But anyway, I love what the Dolphins have done so far, man. I think they filled a lot of needs.
They did.
You know what I'm saying?
Last thing left for me, I'd love to see them go get another really solid right tackle. You know, they signed Dan Feeney. I think I told you guys on the show they've been looking for offensive line.
Yeah.
Depth and competition upgrades. They signed Dan Feeney, who, you know, doesn't move the needle a lot for fans, but he's going to, you know, come in and compete.
Multi-purpose guy. That's what I think he is. Yeah.
Swing guy at guard and center. Yeah. That's probably your preferred role. Yeah. He's your backup guard or center. And so he's going to be their quote-unquote competition for Liam Eichenberg. But I'd love to see them bring in a right tackle, somebody to push Austin Jackson.
I'd like to see Brandon Schell come back, bro. Yeah. I want to see Brandon Schell come back.
Potentially, you know, someone else. I saw Barry mention some connections for George Fant. You know, he would be a guy that would make a lot of sense. And so, yeah, you know, we'll see. But to me, that would be one move I would definitely like to see. And then maybe another linebacker as well, because like I mentioned, David Long's a good addition, but I would want to have a little bit more depth there, you know, because of his injury history as well. And so, yeah, those would be the two positions that I would be looking at to try to get a little bit more help there. But otherwise, they've had a pretty strong free agency so far.
Yeah, I think they've done an excellent job. I think they're going to draft a tight end with that second or third round pick. Yeah.
Yeah. So they signed the guy Eric Saubert as our reporter yesterday, and so he'll be a good addition for them particularly as a run blocker. He'll kind of compete in those roles, and so him and Durham Smythe will probably compete with some of those reps there. And then if you draft a tight end somewhere, you know, second, third, fourth round, he comes in, and then you've got maybe a three way tight end room between those three guys, and add Tanner Connor in there, maybe it's four guys, and so maybe not a true, you know, big name guy like Mike Gesicki, but you know, you got three or four guys you can kind of rotate in there and do what you need to do within the offense.
Oh, and by the way, Tucker Kraft is the guy I want.
Tucker Kraft?
Yes.
Oh, from South Dakota State.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. 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 He, you know, he's a good, it's funny. South Dakota State had another tight end, I'm pretty sure. Dallas Goedert. Wasn't Dallas Goedert from South Dakota State?
I think
so. The same year that Mike Gesicki came out.
And you know what? I wanted Goddard over Gesicki.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, but whatever. It is what it is. But I'm a big Tucker Kraft fan, dude. I think he fits what they do here perfectly. He can block, and he can definitely pass catch.
Yep. And Dallas Goedert did go to South Dakota State. So
yeah.
I don't know if he's as good of a prospect as Dallas Goedert was coming out, because Dallas Goedert went second round. But this is a great tight end class. And so whether it's Tucker Kraft, whether it's Darnell Washington.
I don't think he lasts to 51.
Darnell Washington?
I like him. Yeah, I like him.
He's probably like early second round.
Yeah, I think he goes right at the beginning of that second round. I think somebody scoops him up in that second day right away. And then I think my guy will last to that pick, I think.
It's a decent chance. I think he will be available. It's whether or not he's a second round pick on your board, a third round pick.
Oh, he won't last. He won't. I don't believe he lasts to the Dolphins' third round pick.
Okay.
And they don't have a fourth. Don't have a fourth.
They gotta
make their picks there. What I'm thinking, tight end there, and I'm also thinking tackle. That tackle that you want, that might be a young guy that they're targeting there, because that's kind of where those. They're not surefire tackles. The surefire tackles usually fall in the first round. The guys, you know, those front office guys think like, okay, this guy is going to play pretty soon. But once you get to that second and third round, usually that tackle has, you know, some kind of wart, and you got to work on it a little bit because it's a little bit of a project. I could see the Dolphins looking for a tackle in that area. Tight end, tackle, strong safety. Also is another thing that goes in that second, third round, linebacker, which is something they can still go for. Is there something else you see in that second, third round that they would select?
So I usually like to go in a draft with not having to fill a certain need. You can take a little bit more BPA. But, tight end would make a lot of sense to me when I'm one of those picks. Even you know, and this may be a little surprise for some people, even like a cornerback, you know, because even though they got a Jalen Ramsey and a Xavier Howard, and they re-signed Nick Needham there, a lot of these guys are either coming off injuries or they're a little bit on the older side of things. So you need a younger guy to start developing in there. So you got Kader Kohou, but maybe somewhere you find somebody that can be your potential long-term starter that you can draft maybe in the third round, maybe in the fifth round. But cornerback would be something that wouldn't shock me either. And I think they still need some edge rush help. You've got Jalen Phillips, you've got Bradley Chubb and Emmanuel Agba down the line, but I think they need a little bit more depth, especially if Van Ginkel doesn't come back. Ingram's still a free agent right now, Melvin Ingram. And so I would love to see them draft another edge rusher as well.
With you there. All right. What do you, what do you think happens with the Aaron Rodgers thing? How does that
end? I think
he
eventually does become a Jet, but the question is when. I mean, clearly the Packers want more compensation right now. It's really a game of chicken. The Packers have until September 1st when Aaron Rodgers' deal actually guarantees. And so they could technically play hardball and say it impacts the Jets more than it impacts them.
It does.
So they could hold out to continue to get what they truly want. And so that seems to be why there's some holdup here. And so I don't know who budges and when, but I do think eventually Aaron Rodgers is a Jet.
Yeah, I think the Jets will budge, and they have to, because in the end, what are you going to do, bro? Mini camp start, and then he's not there. Then training camp starts, he's not there. Then he's not there for the preseason. And then what do you think? He's just going to pop in and then everything's just going to start? No, dude, that'll be a disaster. Yep. You know what I mean? And if it drags on into training camp, I wonder how Aaron's going to respond to all of this.
Yeah. Well, Aaron doesn't want to go to OTAs anyway, so it might actually work out to Aaron's favor. Aaron has never been a big voluntary workout.
Yeah, but if you're going to a new team with, even though it's Nathaniel Hackett's system, which he knows, you're still going to play under a new center. You're playing with new running backs. You're playing with new receivers and a tight end. You got to get a feel for all that shit. And you're not going to play in the preseason. So you need as many mini camp throws and training camp really to kind of get in a groove, because the preseason you're going to play like a handful of snaps in one game, and that's it. They're not going to risk much more than that. So to me, the Jets are the ones that are going to end up folding, because it means so much more to them, overall. So I don't know. I think they will end up folding when it's all said and done. What do you think?
I do think that they are the ones that have to bend. And so I don't know what the picks are, if they're asking for an extra third round pick or what. I'm guessing there's some sort of first or second round pick already involved in there. And so I do think that eventually the Jets will have to budge, because they have to. Like, they got to figure out the rest of their program. They've got to build their team around Aaron Rodgers. And so they've already started with Alan Lazard, but you can't really do everything until it's finalized. And so I do think the Jets budge, because they are the team that needs him more than anyone else.
Yep, there you go. All right. By the way, one guy says, imagine Green Bay tries to force the New York Jets to trade them Breece.
Yeah.
Ooh, doggy. Yeah, that would
be something, because Breece Hall, I'm telling you, man, that
player and a half.
That's what I said. The Jets may not be the sexy pick, but I look at what they got coming back with Garrett Wilson. They just signed Alan Lazard. They have Breece Hall that should be healthy. Elijah Moore with a new quarterback. That's just on offense. And then on defense, you've got a top five group. That team on paper is supposed to be special, but this is why this time's important, because you got to build that chemistry. And it's not built on paper. And so every day that ticks away, especially as we get closer to like the April offseason program, I think it becomes more and more imperative for the Jets to make that move, even for the draft too. You're going to the draft, you got to figure out, for sure what I do. If I don't, especially if there's picks involved, this would seemingly have to get done before the draft so that those picks could be used by the Packers. So
I'm with you there. What do you got going on in the NFL Network so folks can check you out, my friend?
Yeah, I'm actually about to hop on NFL Network in about 20 minutes, actually. So our show just started right now. And so you already see me with the dress shoot. I got my suit here, my tie. And so I'll pop off with you. throw on my tie and jacket, and then pop on with them. So I'll be on from 1 to 3 today, talking a little NFL and Dolphins ball.
There you go. Follow him on Twitter at Cameron Wolf, and catch him in just a couple of minutes there on the NFL Network. Cam, as always, thank you, my man. Have a great weekend. We'll catch up next week.
You too. Appreciate you, man.
Thank you, sir. There you go. Cameron Wolf. Good stuff as always.